get there. John chapter 15. Jesus is speaking and says these words. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain. That whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. I want you to focus on that first part. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you. And I want to come with this thought this morning, one word thought, chosen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this time and opportunity, Lord God, to be in your house. I pray, God, your anointing, Lord, upon this time, upon me, O God. Anoint my thoughts and actions, God. I want everything here today, not to be about me or about us, but about you. Lord, I pray the Holy Spirit just to take over. Speak what you want spoken, Lord God, in this place. I submit myself to you, God, and pray. Let us receive the word. Let us hear the word. Let us take to heart your word. And let us allow the Spirit to move in this place. In Jesus' name, I pray this. Amen. And amen. Thank you. You know, turn me down just a hair up here. I feel like I'm loud, and I know I'll get louder. As kids, when we played games, anybody ever remember being a kid? Remember those times? Some a little longer than others, I understand. But let's just think back to our childhood for a minute. On the schoolyard playground, when we would play games, and we would take... We would choose up teams, and you would have the captain of, you know, we have two captains, and they would choose their players, whatever you was going to play. It didn't really matter, you know, baseball, dodgeball, whatever you was going to play, kickball, whatever. You was going to choose teams. And you'd start there, and whether you was a captain, you know, you'd pick your team, and, you know, everybody take their turn. Everybody remembers how we used to play all that. But then you got down to the last few. And whether, you know, you were one of those last few or one of, you had to choose somebody. And no matter, you know, I mean, for some, if you were like the last one, you know that you were just the one left over. That was never a good feeling. And, you know, sometimes we were picked first, sometimes, depending on what the game was. But there was that process that we used to choose sides or to pick teams. And these player selections that we were doing was difficult sometimes. You wanted to win, but you wanted to, you know, pick the best team. And the decision to choose was difficult. But think about that for a moment. Those you wanted to choose, you were the captain. Those you wanted to choose and those you didn't want to choose. You chose some because you felt like you just had to. But think about that. And we think back on how difficult and how awkward and all the different emotions and all the different things that, you know, went with that. But then think about right now and the scripture I just read for you. Jesus said, you did not choose me, but I chose you. He chose us. The Christian walk we live is not one that is won by coincidence. God chose us to become his own. God chose us because he loved us. God chose us because he seen something in us. We did not choose him, but he chose us. And that's something, I don't know about you, but that's something that's very powerful to think about. He chose me. He chose you. But let's back up for just a moment. And if you got your Bibles, go back to this passage. But go back to go ahead and just open up to John 15. Because I want us to look at something in this, because I believe what he is saying, and we could take this verse, and yeah, we could preach on this verse, but I think it would do an injustice to that verse if we didn't really go back up and see a little bit what he was talking about beforehand. In John chapter 15, beginning at verse 1, he said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you." He said in verse 4, "Abide in me, and I will abide in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself." Keep that in mind. A branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Remind ourselves, he chose us to do something, because without him, we can do nothing. He goes on and says, "If you abide in me, my works abide in you. You will ask of what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in me, in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. I no longer call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for the things which I have heard my Father, I have made known to you." Then he goes on and says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that you love one another." And so we see in this whole passage what he's talking about. He's talking about abiding in him. He's talking about bearing fruit. But also he's letting us know that we can, if we abide in him, that we will bear fruit, and that we ask of him, he will give what we desire. But he says also, if we don't abide in him, we can't exist. "For without me, you can do nothing." And so this is something that we got to remind ourselves about, that God is looking for us to abide in him and to remain in him. I want to take this passage in verse 16 and just break it down for a little bit. Can I? Just take a few moments and look at this. Because he said at the very beginning, "I chose you and I appointed you." I already talked about what it means to be chosen. When we're chosen, it means something. And Christ was trying to emphasize this to those that he was talking to. "I chose you." And now some would say, "Well, Pastor, doesn't he say that he wished that none should perish, but all come to repentance?" Yeah. But go back to our choosing teams. What if you're the one that's being chosen and you don't want to be on that team? You wanted to be on this person's team. Think about that when you were kids and you got on the team you didn't want to get on. What did you think? Oh, man. You hated it. "I got to be on, I got to be on Sherry's team. Oh, man. I want to be on Ryan's team." You see, God chooses us, but we have to accept his choosing. He chooses us. He calls us.
But we have to accept that choosing. We have to accept that calling. We have to accept his invitation. We have to accept him saying, would you come and join me? Because God has told the world yes. But he already knows who's going to accept and who don't. He knows. He reminds us before we were born in our mother's womb, he knew us and he ordained us. Before we took our first breath in this world, he knew what we would do. He knew the choices we would make, and he would help us along the way, and we choose whether we accept his direction or not. He knows. He knows us better than ourselves. But when he chooses us, that means we accept him. We accept his invitation. He chose all of them out of his favor. He chose all of us out of love. He chose all of us because he's seen a potential in us. He chose us for himself. He chose us, and he's fighting for us because he loves us. But he reminds us in chapter 15, if you abide in me and I abide in you, we got to learn how to abide. We got to learn how to remain. We got to learn how to stay in the Lord and stay where God has put us. I know sometimes it gets, you know, we get uncomfortable and things aren't going our way and we just want to move on and we just want to do something because, well, it's not going my way. But God's saying, you got to learn how to remain. In this world, you will have trouble. Can you all say amen? In this world, we have faced some troubles. We face some good times. We face some bad times. We face some times we wish we just wouldn't live through. But God said, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. We got to learn how to endure. Sister Trish shared about that information of, you know, people are turning away from the faith. Why? Why are people giving up? Why are people turning away from the faith that they grew up in? Why are people that profess God today turn around and deny him tomorrow? Why are people going away when they know? But it comes back to this fact. They are not remaining in the vine. They're not connecting with Christ. They're not abiding with Christ. They're not seeking him. And they don't have a relationship like they should with him. We know that in the last days, the love of many would wax cold. We know that there would be a great falling away. We know there's going to be a shaking of the very elite. We understand that we are coming into and we are living in the end times, and that Jesus Christ is coming back very soon, and that we must be ready. And so it must be of the utmost importance that we guard our hearts, that we guard our minds, but most importantly, we keep ourselves before God in prayer, seeking him and gaining our strength from him, knowing that we're going to face some battles. We're seeing in our society today things that we thought were one thing turning out being another. We're seeing things that we thought we knew are not what we thought. We're seeing things exposed we never thought would be exposed. We're seeing things we never thought we would ever see. But we've got to understand, we are living in the time of the coming of the Lord. We're living in these things that we call the last days. And we got to be ready. That's why God says, I'm choosing you for such a time as this. I'm choosing you to come forth and fulfill your purpose and your destiny in me. He said, not only did I choose you, but I appointed you. He chose us out of favor and love. He chose us because of the potential that he sees in us. He knows what we are capable of. He knows what we can endure. He knows what we can go through. And if he knows what we can go through, he knows what we can face. He knows what we can handle. And he knows our uttermost thoughts. Then he knows and he has appointed us or ordained us to do a work for him. We have been called to do, I want us to get this in our spirit today. We have been called to do a work for Jesus. We have been called to do a work for his kingdom. We have been called to the kingdom for such a time as this. We have been called into his service. We've been called forward to come. We've been chosen to get into this game, even though it's not a game. But we've been chosen for service to join the battle of the Lord's army. That don't mean I come in and I sit on the sidelines and watch the rest. It don't mean I'm a spectator in the Lord's army, but it means I am a participator in the Lord's army. It means I get into the fight. It means I prepare for battle. It means I'm going to get bloody. I'm going to get muddy. I'm going to get dirty. I'm going to get, but I'm going to win because God has already won the battle. The word appointed, it also translates ordained, means to work in any form of service, upright, and for an active for service. Anybody understand the military or been in the military, you understand what active duty means. You're called to service. You're called. At any time, you can go to war. At any time, you can get called up to go somewhere. That's what active duty means. It doesn't matter whether you're an infantryman or whether you are someone that sits at a desk. You all can still be deployed somewhere. Growing up next to the Air Force base in California, I seen a lot of times when they'd be put on alert or they'd be called different things, and there'd be some guys I knew that they'd be here and all of a sudden they're gone. And they go, well, we got called to Okinawa or we got called to somewhere else. And just because of the area they were in. Or they would be, the base would be put on lockdown or put on alert. Or there were different words they had for them. That, you know, nobody could go in or out because of things that were going on. Of course, this is back in the Cold War era and all that fun stuff. Anybody remember that? But church, we got to realize that we've been called, and we never know when something's going to require us to step up and do something extraordinary. But God has, we got to remind ourselves, he chose us. He chose us. And if he chose us, he knew what we are capable of. We got to look at one another and say, we know what, you know, I know what you're capable of. God knows what you're capable of. He knows what you can do, and he knows what you can't do. And he ain't going to put you in a place that he knows you can't handle. And so if you're going through a battle, you're going through something right now, you got to remind yourself, he chose me for this moment. I know sometimes we think, oh, Lord, why did you choose me for this? But he knows. You know, sometimes it's not just to help others. It's sometimes to teach you something. I mean, there's been a lot of times I've asked the Lord, Lord, why did you choose me for this? Why did you choose me to do that? Why did you allow me? But then if I just shut up and listen, I learn. God reveals. Brother Joey, sometimes that's the best way to learn. It's just be quiet. Be still and know that I am God. He chose us. He appointed us. He's called us to service. Church, we got to realize, church isn't just about a pastor, teachers, singers. It's more than that. That's just the tip of the iceberg. He's called every child of God to service. If you call him Lord, if you call him your Savior, if you call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and call him, and that you call you, him your Lord and he is yours, he's called you to service. And if we're going to see anything done for God, it's going to come not just from one, not just from two, not just from the singers, not just from the teachers, not just from the pastors, but it's going to come from the church utilizing and realizing its potential. Each part doing its share causes growth. Each one of us stepping up to do what God has called us to do. Each one realizing that we have a work to do. That we may not be able to sing, we may not be able to teach, we may not be able to, but that doesn't matter because God can do mighty things through those that don't even preach or don't even can carry a tune. Even if all you can do is fix cars, God can use you. If all you can do is lawn care, God can use you. If all you can do is babysit, God can use you. If all you can do is just cook meals, God can use you. We got to realize that God has chose us. We got to just take our big old finger and just point it here at ourselves and say, God has chose me. He has appointed me. He has anointed me. He's called me into service. He's called me forward, and I better get up and do something for him. If not, I'm going to miss out on the blessing that God has planned for me. Let me move on. He goes on and says that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain. He's at a point. He's appointed us for service to bear fruit. That fruit mentioned here is the same fruit that he mentions in Galatians chapter 5 regarding the fruit of the Spirit, which is the characteristics of love, joy, peace. You know, he's called us to love. He said in John 15 that you love one another. He's called us to love. God is love, and we've been called to love. But you also know he's called us to joy. Church, if we don't have joy, shame on us. God, help us. The joy of the Lord is my strength. If I don't have joy, God has called me and chose me and appointed me to have joy. To have the joy of the Lord in my heart. To have the joy of the Lord in my spirit. To put a smile on my face. I don't know about you, but I'm so glad that, you know, I don't see masks today. I don't know if anybody's wearing it, if that's fine, but it's so good to see people's faces. Why? Because I get to see your smile. I get to see you, the joy of the Lord upon your face. Smile. Turn your neighbor and smile. Let them see the joy of the Lord. Smile at them. I know some smiles look devilish, but that's okay. You may look at them and think, boy, they got a devilish grin, but what do they think when they look back at you? Hey, if you all can't laugh at one another or you can't laugh at yourself, you ain't got the joy. The joy. Remember the song we used to sing as kids? I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart. Down in. Y'all know that. We need. I don't know about you. Call me crazy. That's okay. My kids think I am anyway. I think sometimes we just need to go back to some kids' songs. They're simple. I know. They're elementary. I get it. But I think sometimes we get so sophisticated, we forget the simple message that those kids' songs carried. I've got the joy. Lord, church, if we ain't got the joy, then how are we going to reach a world? If we ain't got the joy of the Lord in our heart, how are we going to bring people into the house of the Lord? How are we going to compel them to come in if we don't have the joy? If we don't have the joy when we are out in the public, yeah, that's going to reach people. Some of you, come on now, let's get real. I believe the children of God should be the happiest people on the earth. Yeah, we're going to have problems. Yes, we're going to have bad days. We're all entitled to that. We're going to have days our heart breaks. We're going to have days that we just want to go into bed and stay in there. And we all have those days. Come on, let's be real. Days we just want to cry. Let's be real. But that doesn't mean I don't have the joy. He said, I've called you to have joy. I've called you to have peace. You see, a child of God that has peace is a child of God that isn't panicking. Oh, I don't know what's going to happen. Woe is me. The sky has fallen. The sky has fallen. Come on now. What's going to happen next? We had the COVID virus. Now they got the Delta variant. They said it's going to take us out. You know, if we survive COVID, we're going to really. Have you all not gotten it yet? All this is from the pits of hell, and it's wanting to bring fear upon the world. Come on now. Let's hunker down. Let's stay in place. We bought that once, but I don't know about you, I ain't buying it again. Because my God, His word tells me, is greater than anything out there. And oh, if I should go because of some virus or sickness or whatever, you know what that means? I get to heaven before you. Why? God has not called us to fear. Come on, let's remind ourselves that. The world is sprouting and spewing propaganda of fear. Fear, fear, fear. You're going to die. You got this, you got that. That's going to happen. Listen, we're going to die of something eventually if we should live. My word reminds me that He has called us to life. I would that you would have life and life more abundantly. Translated, I would that you would have life and live it to its fullest. Chuckalodian's version said, He's called me to live my life and to live it according to His words. To live, to fulfill my purpose and my destiny. Why? Because He chose me. He chose me to stand up and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. He called me to stand up and declare the word of the Lord. And if I shut up my mouth, then God help me for not fulfilling my purpose in Him. And a lot of times, I believe a lot of church people are walking around upset, miserable, because they're not fulfilling their purpose. Hello? You see, if you know you're chosen, if you know you're appointed, if you know your place in His kingdom, I've heard for years and years and years, people say, I just want to know God's will for my life. I just want to know God's will for my life. We've all prayed that, I'm sure, at one time or another. But can I tell you what God's will for your life is? That you should go into all the world and preach and teach the gospel. Hello? Oh, I don't want to go to Africa. Okay, give the missions. But He did call you to go somewhere. He may not have called you to Africa. He may not have called you to China. But maybe He called you to go across the street. Maybe He called you to go across the room at work. Maybe He called you just to go across the house, your room in your house. But He's called you to go and proclaim the gospel. And if we're not proclaiming the gospel, then we're not doing what He's called us to do. He said, I would that you should go. Go where? That you should go and bear fruit. What fruit? Well, we just talked about that. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. You know, He saved that one for last. I called you to go proclaim me. I called you to go. He didn't say I called you to go sit. I called you to go and bear fruit. And that your fruit, He said, not only did He just say I called you to go bear fruit, but I called you that your fruit should remain. Not here today and gone tomorrow. I mean, what good is a plant or anything? Some of y'all, a lot of you are growing gardens, and you know, and I think it's great because you know I'm loving this and getting all kind of zucchini bread. Man, I tell you what, I was never a lover of sweet. I'm never going to lose weight here, all y'all. I'm just saying. I thought Louisiana was bad. Dear Lord in heaven. Between banana pudding. I mean, things I liked, but like never was crazy over. Now I'm like, oh my gosh. Whew, Jesus, help me. But you know, with all these gardens and all these wonderful things that we see, and you know, you see that garden and you see that, or that tree that's blossoming, hey, you know, something's getting ready, a vegetable or fruit's getting ready to be produced. What if it never produced? What would you think about that tree? If it looked like, oh man, look at all these blossoms, look at all these things, and then all of a sudden it doesn't produce one fruit. It's worthless. Or some may say it's diseased. What do you think about people that call themselves Christ, of Christ, a child of God? Look at me, I'm a Christian. Look at me, I'm a child of God. Look at me. You know, I'm Pentecostal, but yet there is no fruit. Or they show fruit today, but not tomorrow. That's why he said, I would that you would bear fruit and that your fruit should remain. Think about it. Now, I grew up around orchards. A lot of peach trees. I'd go deliver to some customers, and man, I tell you what, there'd be times to go out there, you know, man, help yourself. And during harvest, you know, maybe this tree was ready and that wasn't quite ready yet, or there were some that were ready here and there wasn't some ready on the same tree. Think about this. I go today, I can get a peach. Go a couple days later, get another peach. A couple days later, get another one. Man, that's pretty good, isn't it? But what if I went once to get it and I go back the next day or so and I can't get anything? What does that mean? That tree is unreliable. If only it produced one fruit, it's not sustainable. Church, we got to look at this in our own life. God has chose us to bear fruit. Why? Not just for our benefit, not just to say, look at me, I'm holy Joe or holy Mary or, you know, holy whatever. He's looking at us that we bear fruit, that people can come and receive something. Listen, maybe we've got peace and there's got people that God's wanting to send to our way that need peace. Maybe we're displaying a lot of love today and God's going to send somebody our way that needs some love. Maybe we've got some kindness that people need some kindness shown toward them. We got to realize God didn't just call you to service just to say I'm in service. He's called you to service to help others. He's called us into his kingdom to help one another, to help spread the gospel, to go into the world and tell the world that Jesus loves them and that we are those examples of Christ. I got to hurry. He goes on and says, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give it, may give you. Now I want to share something. In Colossians, I want to share this scripture. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7, this is from the New Living Translation. He says, and now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in truth you were taught, in the truth you were taught. And you will overflow with thankfulness. This is what God is wanting us to do. Get our roots down deep, that we will overflow in thankfulness. But see, if I'm bearing fruit, if I'm doing all these things, then what this last part, that whatever you ask of the Father, he may give. Now I want you to take this and hear this real clear. A lot of times people, because I've seen a lot of people take this scripture out of context, especially this part. Whatever you ask in my name, I will give to you. He will give. And so people get this, this mentality. If I go lay my hands on that brand new Cadillac or that Rolls Royce or whatever, you know, Mercedes Benz, I'm going to lay my hands and ask the Lord, give me this car. Or a lot of us, I wouldn't do that, Pastor. Yeah, but you sure pray for that $1 million. Come on now. Every time you see that Publishers Clearinghouse commercial on TV, you pray. I wish I'd hear that. Here you go. Y'all, come on now. Truth be told, we've all entered it a time or two, or maybe more than once. Oh yeah. Got quiet on that one. I mean, of course, he's not alive anymore, but we always praying. We get to meet Ed McMahon. Younger folk don't understand that. But we had this mentality that whatever I ask of the Father, he's going to give to me. And can I tell you, that's not what this means. You see, like I said, you go back and read the rest before that scripture. If you're abiding in him and he's abiding in you, that means there's a connection. That means I'm being fed. Just like, you know, he gave us the analogy of the fruit, the branches and the vine. The branches only convey what's coming through the vine. I'm going to use a tree analogy. Okay? The branches could only do what the trunk is telling it to do. The nutrients come from the roots of the tree, which is the base, the trunk, and it goes to the branches. And if we are abiding in him, meaning we are connected to him, then whatever is coming through the roots into the trunk, into the branches, is what's going to happen. Meaning, it's going to have the same mindset. I'm going to have the mind of God. God's going to have, and I'm going to understand the things of God. I'm not going to ask for $1 million for myself just to have $1 million for myself. I'm not going to ask for a car just because I want a car or I want to have something better than everybody else. No, that's not the mind of God. It is not that God don't want you to have nice things. It's the purpose or the reasoning. Why ask God for a new van if you don't plan on picking up anybody? Why ask God for a new car or a bigger car if you don't plan on picking up anybody or using it for God's service? Hello? Because everything we do needs to bring glory to God. Can I bring glory to God while I'm playing on the golf course? Yes, I can. Because why? Because I'm going to meet other people out there. They're going to see a bad shot, but I'm not going to throw my club. Hello? Jeff, you don't do that, do you? Just making sure. Not after today. How'd that sandwich break out? No, I'm kidding. Can I glorify God at Walmart? Yes, I can. In all things, to show yourself a pattern of good works. In everything, we're going to bring glory to God. Church, you've heard me say time and time again, we need to incorporate God in our vocabulary a lot more than what it has been. We need to start talking about God and giving God more glory. And somewhere in our conversation, I don't care who you're talking to, we got to mention the Lord again and get the Lord back in our conversations and start giving God glory for things. Then I believe we will start seeing a more victorious and overcoming life. And we will see things change in our world. Why? Because the Bible reminds us that all things give thanks. In everything give thanks. And if I'm talking about him, we'll say, Pastor, people just don't want to hear sermons all the time. Who said anything about preaching sermons? What about just giving God thanks? What about just acknowledging that God is the reason for things? We're going to do more good preaching less and talking about him more. People don't need another sermon. They just need to hear Jesus loves them. He reminds us in Philippians 4:8, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there be anything praiseworthy, think on these things, or one translation says, meditate on these things. What are we thinking about? What are we meditating on? We're to bring glory and honor to Him. And if I'm abiding in Him and He's abiding in me, whatever I ask, I say, Lord, I need this today. I need this because I'm going to face somebody. And Lord, I need to show some love, some greater love for this person. I need to help. Lord, you got to help me reach this person. You got to help me talk to this person. Guess what He's going to do? Let's be reminded of something. He said, I will never leave you or forsake you, but I will be with you to the end. Don't ever think God's going to push you out there and then step back and say, good luck. No, He's going to be with us. I'm reminded what the psalmist said, I've been young and now I'm old, yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor a seed begging bread. He'll never forsake His church, especially when it comes to his matters and his ordeal affairs. Let me hurry on. I'm about done. We don't need to ask selfishly, but we ask for the good of God's kingdom. God, let me. When was the last time we prayed, God, let me be a blessing to somebody? How many times have we prayed? Don't raise your hands. But I want you to think about this. How many times have you prayed? You pray more about God bless me than Lord bless me to help me to bless somebody else. Let me say that. Hello? I'll give you a minute. How many times? I'm going to say it again. How many times have we prayed, Lord bless me, versus Lord let me be a blessing? We're all guilty. Come on, let's be real. Lord, bless me. I need a touch. Okay. Church, I think if we start praying more about and have this mentality, Lord, let me be a blessing, guess what's going to happen? If I'm asking God to help me be a blessing, where do you think the blessings are going to come through? He's going to bless me to be a blessing. But you see, we want it to stop right here. It's all about me. And that's not scriptural. Because He tells us, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. And out of our bellies, if that river is going to flow, if it's really going to be a living water, it cannot be dammed up in us. If the blessing stops here, He ain't going to bless. But if we're willing to open up our hands, this is why I'm pushing missions so much. As we learn how to open, not just across the world, I believe we need to take care of local as well as global. I believe both are important. And we'll have a total of the, I know the Women's Pregnancy Center was over $300 last time, but we had some more come in, so it's probably going to be at least 400, if not more. I'm praying 500. Praise God. Some would say, well, we could use that 500 here. Yeah, we could, but I want to be a blessing. Because if I keep it here, if we keep it here, then God can't add to. God can't pour more on. But if we learn how to open up our hand to others, and not just with our finances, but with our ministries and with our lives, and we learn how to open up to other people, then God's going to bless us. That's what He's talking about. Whatever you ask in my name, if you're asking to be a blessing to others, I'm going to bless you to bless them. Oh, that's my tone. Yep, it's noon. Worship team, come on up here. I was done anyway, or wrapping up. Brother Darrell set his watch.
I'm picking on people because I love you. You all know that, I hope. If I'm not picking on you, well, I just haven't got around to it yet. Don't be upset. Your turn's coming. Let me add this, and we're going to wrap this up. The word give in the Greek gives the definition or the indication of commitment, of delivering. Some would call it, it's a general word for giving, but it comes with a commitment to give. So we go back to ask whatever you ask of the Father, He may give. It means He is committing to give to you. And reminding us and understanding that we're going to give or we're going to deliver it. Are we committed to Him as He's committed to us? Church, that means if I need deliverance, He's going to give me deliverance. If I need an answer from God, He's going to give me an answer. If I need a healing, He's committed to give me healing. If I'm abiding in Him. We've seen people do this. That they'll come to church when things are going wrong. And as soon as things get right, they're gone. As soon as God touches them and we think, yeah, they're gone. They're just coming. But does that mean we don't pray for them? Does that mean we don't help them? Yes, we got to use discernment and wisdom. Yeah. There's times to exercise tough love. I've done it. It's not the easiest thing in the world, but parents, we've all been there about tough love. But it doesn't mean we shut up our hearts of compassion to do what God has asked us to do. That's why in all things we got to pray for discernment. Be willing to give. Heard a story years ago from a gentleman who shared with me one time that God had given him the gift of healing. Years ago, he would pray for people and God would heal them. And prayed, he shared with me different stories, a lot of stories about how he'd pray for people and God would deliver them. Cancer, different other things. God would heal them. And then he said one time this person come up for prayer. He wasn't a pastor, he was just a person in the church. Needed prayer. Needed healing. But he didn't like that person. He knew their story. He knew they were just one of those in and out types. And he did not pray for them. And he told me, he said, just at that moment when I refused to obey God, he says, just like a wind just left me. He said, that gift left me. You know, you think about this and think of God. We can point fingers and accuse them. Well, see, you should know. But how many times... It may not be the gift of healing. It may be something else. And God wants us to do something and we don't do it. That opportunity may never come around again. Think about all the people that could have been healed. Think about that person that could have been healed. That moment. But yet this person refused. And they shared with me, I lived with that regret all my life. This person was up in age. this happened 30, 40 years prior. Never have forgot that story. About that regret. And I could sense it. I knew it. The church, we got to understand. When God calls us, He means it. When He's appointed us, He means it. He has a purpose for us. We got to remind ourselves, every one of us, I don't care who you are, I don't care what background you get, I don't care. God has a work for all of us to do. And if we don't step up and fulfill what God has called us to do, somebody's going to suffer. Somebody's going to not miss out on a blessing. Somebody's going to miss out knowing God. We may not know it here, but I believe we will know at one time or another. You missed this opportunity. So I just want to ask you this. Are you willing to accept what God is choosing you to do? Are you bearing the right fruit? Is there fruit? And is it remaining? Father, I just pray right now. Lord, you have chosen us for such a time as this. You have called us for this moment and this time. Lord, you knew what this world would be facing, what our communities would be facing, what our families would be facing. This time, this moment in time. And you have placed us right where you want us. So, Lord, I ask you today, everyone here, Lord, that hears my voice, let us accept what you're calling us to do. Let us accept. You're choosing us. You're calling us to come forward. For some, Lord, that are sitting on the sidelines, you're calling us to get into the game. You're calling us to engage, to step forward and accept our call into our ministry. For our community, for our church, for the kingdom of God. Father, you're calling us and reminding us that as you have chosen us, as you had anointed us, as you've called us, you will equip. You will prepare us. You will help us. You're just asking us to take the step forward. To accept what you called us to do. Oh, sweet Spirit, right now, I pray. Lord, let us perceive the times in which we live in. Lord, give us a wake-up call today. You're coming soon. You are coming soon. We don't have time to play. And we do not have time to wait. It's time to step up and call and fulfill our calling in you. Have your way in us, Lord, right now. In Jesus' name, I pray. Church, I want to ask you to stand this morning. God has called us to the kingdom for such a time as this. He's called us to come forward. But just like in our game, when we were kids, God called us. We had to step forward and go and join the team. I'm asking you, are you ready to come and step forward and join and say, God, I want to be used for you? Come on, anybody else? God's calling you. God's calling you to make a difference. God's calling you. Some of you here this morning, you need prayer. If you're abiding in Him and He's in you, that scripture says, ask what you will, and it shall be done. I believe God can heal today. I believe God can touch lives. It's time to step forward and ask God for something today. And He's asking you to come forward. right now, I'm not going to take a lot of time before we start praying. I'm asking you to step forward. Anybody else, you need something from God? God is here this morning. Anyone else? You know me, I don't waste time. I don't like to waste time in this. Oh, Father, have your way right now. Come on. It's time to step forward. God's calling you. God's calling you. Oh, sweet Spirit, have your way. I don't know if there's someone else. God is one. I'm just not being released yet. Lord, just have your way. It's your choice. Yes, it's your choice. Father, have your way right now. I'm going to ask some saints to come and gather around these. Join me as we pray over them. Church, let's pray right now. Come on, saints.